Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast. Good morning, everybody. My heart is so happy to see all these new faces. My goodness. This is amazing. Welcome to Heartway. If it's your first time, you're our special guest. So glad that you're here. I get to feel like I always feel so lucky that I get to be here, you know, and experience what it is that we experience together. I mean, by the time I get up here to talk, I'm like, I'm already ready to go home. I'm so refreshed. I'm rejuvenated. I feel good. But this part is important too. But sometimes I feel like the words just, you know, clutter things a little too much. I like to have that open space and just connect with the God within. Thank you, by the way, to all of you who came to our newcomers breakfast this morning. That also was really awesome. Really hope you enjoyed it. We'll have more opportunities to do things like that, so be on the lookout. We also are probably going to do a baptism really soon, so I know a lot of you want to have a fresh start, new beginning. Baptism is such a great way to do that. So if you come back next week, we'll give you some more information about all of that. But today, I want to get started with a little story, an interesting experience I had this week. I was at the hospital. As many of you know, I share all the time. I'm a hospital chaplain. And I get to pray with people and talk with people and counsel people when they're going through a lot of grief and trauma. And earlier this week, I was in the emergency room talking to a family that was really going through it. And I went up to this lady and I said, "Ma'am, my name's Danny. I'm here with the spiritual care department. What's going on?" She was telling me a little bit and I said, "Okay, well, can we pray together? Can I pray with you?" And she did something that a lot of people do when I ask that question. Not everybody, but some people. She was like vetting me. So the first thing that she asked, I guess she didn't want me to do no voodoo on her or something. Okay, first thing that she asked was, first she looked me up and down. She said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And I said, "Yes." And then she goes, "Well, what's God's name?" And I'm like, okay, this is a trick question already. I'm like, okay, I just said Jesus, so I don't know if I should say Jesus again. So I'm like, what should I say? And I said, "Well, the name that comes to mind is I Am That I Am." That's one of the names that God reveals to Moses in the book of Exodus. And it's my favorite name for God because it basically equates God with reality. God is that which is. I am that I am. But I didn't say all that. I just said, "I am." And she looked at me like, weird, bro. She gave me these eyes like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, it was such an awkward pause. I'm like, why don't you tell me what God's name is? And she's like, "Jehovah? Jehovah." And I said, "Ma'am." I said, "Okay." I'm like, "Yes, Jehovah." And she's like, "Oh, well, you just were going to agree with anything I said." I said, "Ma'am, do you understand how many names for God there are in the Bible?" I said, "You got Jehovah, you got Elohim, you got Yahweh, you got Adonai, you got El Shaddai, you got Most High." I literally started freestyle rapping all the names of God. And she started cracking up. And I said, "How was I supposed to know which one?" I was like, "But you're right, Jehovah." I was like, "Let's pray to Jehovah." She said, "Yes." I was like, "All right, great." And so we had our little moment. But my point in that is there's so many different names, so many different images, so many different metaphors that we use when we talk about God. A lot of people, they just get stuck on one. And they make that one name, that one image, that one metaphor, the whole thing. When in reality, no one name, no one image, no one metaphor can encapsulate the totality of who God is. God cannot be confined to any one particular name. God is above every name that we could ever give to God. Some theologians even say that metaphor is actually the only language that we can use to talk about God, because God is absolute mystery, and metaphor is the only kind of language that honors absolute mystery without trying to reduce it in some way. And so here at Heartway, I like to describe Heartway as a contemplative spiritual community centered on love. And that word contemplative, it's a form of Christianity, contemplative Christianity, that focuses on the experiential knowing of God's love and presence. So it's not so much knowing about God as it is knowing God. And there's a really big difference, because you can know things about God and your heart still be disconnected from God. Someone can know things about me and not know me. That's how it is a lot of times with the Creator. We know a whole lot of things about God. We can explain all of the philosophical, metaphysical mysteries. But do we know God in actuality? You see, a lot of us have a secondhand relationship with God, which means our relationship with God is what it is because this is just the culture that we grew up with. It's our background. It's our tradition. We just come to church because it's the right thing to do. But we haven't really tasted and seen and experienced for ourselves who and what God is. There's this very weird and funny and interesting story that illustrates this point in the book of Acts. Before I get there, though, I want you to read this verse. Look at what it says in the book of Thessalonians, that there are some who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Oh, I don't want that to be me. That I have a form of God. I can talk the talk, but I can't walk the walk. If you just have the language, if you just have the ideas, if you just have the concepts, but you don't have the power, well, what's the point? So in the book of Acts, chapter 19, there's a story about a group of Jewish men who saw all of the things that Jesus' followers were able to do, the healing, the liberation that they were able to bring about in other people's lives. And so they came across a man who was demonized, and they wanted to set him free. And so in this story, these Jewish men say to the man who was demonized, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him." And the man responded by saying, "We know Jesus. We know Paul. But we don't know you." And then the story ends with the guy jumping on them, beating them up so bad that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. That's literally what the Bible says. I know it's weird, whatever, but it illustrates the point that a lot of us, we just use "in Jesus' name" as like an incantation, like a magical formula. We think that that's just going to do it if we end our prayer with "in Jesus' name." No, you can pray "in Jesus' name" all you want, but if you don't have Jesus living on the inside of you, you don't got the power. Right? And the mountains that you're trying to move aren't going to recognize you because you don't got the power. So in the scriptures, there's a correlation. There's actually a parallel between the power of God and the Spirit of God. Those two are actually spoken of as one and the same thing. The Spirit of God and the power of God, one and the same. And so what I want to do today is I want to explore some of the images and some of the metaphors that are used in the Bible to describe the Spirit of God, because as we become aware of these metaphors and images and the meanings that they contain, I believe it can take us into a deeper experience of God's Spirit within, which will help us tap into our power and overcome whatever challenges and inner demons we may be facing in our life, and as a result, be able to help other people too. So the first image of spirit in the Bible that I love so much is the image of breath. Look at this passage of scripture. "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Job 33. This is from John 20. "And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So do you see the correlation between the Spirit of God and breath? In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, a living spirit. So God and breath are connected some way, somehow. And that's a very important connection to make, because there's nothing that is more intimate to us than our very breath. And in the same way that nobody has to teach you how to breathe, breathing just kind of happens naturally and automatically, nobody actually needs to teach you how to connect to God. You actually have this natural built-in mechanism to connect with God for yourself, by yourself, without anybody else having to be an intermediary for you. Now, it helps to have guides along the journey, but the best guides will tell you that you are your own guide and that you are your own teacher and that the Spirit lives inside of you. God is closer to us than our very breath. We don't have to go far away searching for God somewhere. All we got to do is just take a moment and connect with our breath. And there's this lightness that begins to come over us. There's a rest that we can begin to experience at a deep spiritual level. It's the rest that God's Spirit brings to us. I remember years ago hearing a rabbi talk about one of these names that God gives in the Old Testament, Yahweh. And he was saying that the pronunciation of this name, Yahweh, actually corresponds to our breathing. So each syllable in the word Yahweh represents our in-breath and our out-breath. So the inhale is Yah, the exhale is Weh. Do you hear it? Yahweh. So when we enter into this world with our first breath, we're proclaiming the name of God. And as we exit this world with our last breath, we're proclaiming the name of God. And every moment that you are alive is a gift from God. Even if you don't recognize it, it is God who is your sustenance. It is God who is the very breath and life force animating all that you are and all that you do. So the breath is actually a bridge that connects you to God. It brings you into an awareness of God's presence. The breath is also your bridge between you and the present moment. The breath is a bridge between you and nature. It's a bridge between you and the presence of the Spirit within. It's a bridge between you and your body. A lot of us live our lives disassociated. We're stuck in our mind. We're not in touch with where we are. We're not where our feet are. And it's important sometimes to just bring ourselves back to our breath. It has such an anchoring effect. I was in the hospital this week with a couple, two friends of mine, a married couple. The wife was in labor. And when I was there in the room saying hi, she was having contractions, okay? So I'm in there like, hey, what's up, guys? And she's like, yeah, come in, please. Oh, my God. And she's going crazy. She's like, you have no idea how painful this is. I was like, man. She's like, this is a curse from God. I said, listen, I don't know, okay? Talk to him about it. I'm just the messenger. At one point in time, I was talking with her and her husband, trying to distract her. I wasn't even talking about what was going on. I was like, yeah, so last night I was doing this. And she was like, wait a second. I'm about to make some really weird noises. I'm so sorry. She turns around, lays down on the bed, and just starts moaning and groaning like I've never heard it before. I mean, well, as she was doing this, literally in labor pains, her husband was massaging her back. And you know the words that he said to her when she was going through this pain? Just breathe, baby. Just breathe. Just breathe. There's something about the breath that grounds you. It anchors you. It centers you. It connects you to your power. And so if we can become aware of our breathing more often, we'll be able to regulate our nervous system, keep ourselves in a state of equilibrium and balance, and from that place of calmness, we're going to be able to see things we haven't seen before. We're going to have a clarity that we have not had before. You see, if we're just stuck in our minds all the time, you can only think about the things that you already know. So it's not until you kind of disconnect from your mental chatter and create some space on the inside that new, fresh ideas can come to you. That's why we do centering prayer. We can sit, and in that silence, when we're clearing our mind, the Spirit is able to speak ever more loudly, and we can take action as a result of it. So the Spirit and breath, what a beautiful connection there is there. The second metaphor that I want to explore is fire. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I, speaking of Christ, is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, fire serves a lot of different purposes. One of the purposes of fire is to illumine, to bring light. The Holy Spirit is given to us in order to illumine us. I love how the book of Ephesians puts it. It says that the Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the Spirit's job, to provide you with wisdom and to reveal things to you. There's no such thing as a life circumstance that does not contain wisdom for you. Some of y'all are looking for a message from God. You don't have to go any further than where you are right now and what it is that you're going through right now. It's good to learn from books. It's good to listen to the podcast. It's good to hear somebody talk about this stuff. But nothing compares to learning the lessons firsthand that come through experience. Because I can get a revelation from the Spirit and share it with you, but until that revelation is illumined within the inside of you, it's not going to mean much. It's really not going to mean much unless you see it. And the only way you're going to see it is if you go through something in life that causes you to see it. And so the Spirit is there to enlighten us, to illumine us. And the Spirit oftentimes is enlightening us to ourselves, helping us become more aware of our patterns and the ways that the things that we think and believe have an effect not just on us, but on the people around us. Because a lot of us are blinded to ourselves and we project our own worst qualities onto other people. And if anybody else dare to point out something in us that we are blinded to, oh my goodness, we start going crazy. We really start going crazy. This is why a lot of people don't like going down the spiritual path, because it causes you to confront yourself. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know what truth he was talking about? The truth about you. It's time for you to understand the truth about you. And if you're afraid to face the truth about you, there's never going to be growth. There's never going to be progress. There's never going to be change and transformation. Which brings me to the second point, and that is that fire is also meant to purify. Look at this scripture. I will bring that group through the fire. Oh my gosh. I don't want to sign up for this, God. Are you serious? You're going to bring me through the fire? But I'm going to bring them through the fire to make them pure. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. You see, if you were to excavate gold from the earth, it's not going to look the same way that gold looks when it's at the jewelry store. Right? Because the appearance of the gold is going to be marred by all of the impurities. The gold has to be refined by fire. You have to apply some heat. And when you apply the heat, what happens? All of the impurities rise to the surface. And then they're removed. And then you apply some more heat. And then all the impurities rise to the surface. And that process continues until the refiner is able to see their own reflection within the gold. That's the whole point. And that's why God is refining us, so that God can see his own reflection within us. We're already made in the image of God, but it takes a whole lot of refining to grow into the likeness of God, to literally become like God in this world, to be so transparent and translucent that the light of God is shining through your very humanity. You've got to go through some trials. You've got to go through some suffering. But when you understand that all of this is a part of God's master plan, life is God's curriculum for me, so that I can grow into the most loving version of who I am. Now, and I know this sounds weird, but I really want to recruit y'all into this crazy mindset. You actually get happy when your impurities rise to the surface. Because now you're able to know what you're supposed to work on. And when you stop blaming everybody else for you being the way that you are and your life having the problems that your life has, you have now empowered yourself to be able to experience change and transformation in life. So if you trigger me, that's a good thing. If I'm going through a situation in life, and I'm dealing with anxiety and stress and fear, that is a huge sign from God. Hey, there's some areas you may not be trusting me in. There's a deeper level of faith I'm calling you into. There's more growth and there's more evolution. Are you ready? She's been doing that all morning. It's great. Welcome to Hardway, by the way. We're all are welcome. It's so great. It's awesome. So God's going to put you through the fire. But it's a purifying process so that his reflection can be seen in you. And so surrender to the process. I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. But this is the way. It's the way to growth. It's the way to transformation. And the scriptures say that in the same way that a parent who doesn't discipline their kid would be negligent, if God didn't discipline us, what would that make God? Right? So when God disciplines us, and really the way I interpret that is not like God is in the sky somewhere saying, you did something bad and I got to put you through this. No, no, no. You reap what you sow, and God allows that mechanism to occur. Right? There's one verse in the book of Romans that says, God left them to their devices. Oh, jeez. That's discipline, really. It's like God, the way God disciplines is, I'm going to let you do you. Go ahead. I'm going to let you do you, and you're going to see how much of a mess that creates, and then you're going to come back, Dad, help me. And he's going to be right there to pick you up when you're drowning in the water. But that discipline is there to help us get sturdy, to build us up, and to help us become more of a reflection of Christ in this world. So the Spirit is here to refine us and to illumine us in this way. The next imagery I want to look at is wind. The Spirit is oftentimes referred to as the wind of God. John chapter 3, these words from Jesus are powerful. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. The whole point here is, imagine you were driving in your car, you stick your hand out the window. You're going to feel the wind, right? Well, if you were to try and grasp the wind, what would happen? Nice try. Not going to happen, right? It's impossible. You can't just grab the wind and say, I got you. No. You can only feel the wind. You can't actually see the wind itself, but you can see the effects of the wind. So if it's windy outside, we'll know because the leaves on the trees will start moving a little bit. Right, the flowers will start dancing a little bit. You can't see the wind. You can't pin it down, but you can see where it's been. You can see the effect of it. In the same way, you cannot pin God down and put God in a box. God is going to move where God is going to move. God is going to touch the lives that God is going to touch. And it's not always going to make sense to you. And also, even though you cannot see the Spirit, you can see where the Spirit is active on the basis of the effects, the fruit in a person's life. What is the effect of the Spirit? Look at how it says it in the book of Galatians. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So anywhere you see this fruit, you can know that the Spirit of God is at work. Notice, this doesn't give you a list of beliefs. What? I don't have to believe all the right things? Well, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit produces people with right thinking. No, the Holy Spirit produces people with right living. The point is love. And so anywhere I see love, I see God. God is love. There's no such thing as Christian love, Muslim love, Jewish love, atheist love. Love is love. Love transcends religion. That's why I talk the way that I do here, because I want to honor the fact that the Spirit, the wind of God, will blow where it wills. But I can recognize and affirm and acknowledge when the Spirit is at work because I see the fruit. I see the effect. And that's how I know that God is active in my life. When love and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and faithfulness and goodness is being produced in me. It's more about your heart. This isn't about some sort of moral perfection. It's about your heart being inclined in a certain direction. Scripture says the righteous person falls 7 times, but they get up 8. We're not going to be perfectly loving and perfectly joyous and perfectly at peace and perfectly patient. And that's not what God requires. But the point is, we're moving in this direction in our life. These are the ideals that we're holding up and that we're moving ourselves towards every moment of our lives. Another way to think about this analogy of the wind is to consider that way back in the day, before we had our sophisticated technology, okay, human beings used the wind as like a navigation system. Okay, so sailors would look to the wind to determine direction, to help guide their movements on the water. Well, in the same way, the Spirit of God is your internal navigation system. Some of you are looking for guidance, and you're asking everybody in the world, what should I do? But you're forgetting the one main thing, which is God and God's Spirit within you, who wants to navigate you and guide you in and through your intuition. That is the internal GPS. That is the Spirit's voice within you. So how do I trust my intuition? I define intuition as knowing beyond logic. Knowing beyond logic. Okay, it's not always going to make sense to you, but if you're feeling that hunch, it'll do you good to actually follow the Spirit's promptings, even if logically it's not making sense. Later, you can make sense of it. But first things first, do what the Spirit is calling you to do. Move where the Spirit is calling you to move. That's your navigation system. The more you learn how to trust it, the more empowered you will be as a human being. The more empowered you are, the happier you'll be. Sometimes your internal navigation system may lead you into a lot of difficulty, tough times. It may get harder before it gets easier. But at the very least, you'll have peace inside of yourself because you know I'm operating according to my truth. I'm living in line with what I feel God wants for me, with what I know is right for me. So we got to cancel out the other voices. It's good to consider what other people say, to take that into consideration. But ultimately, the Spirit of God is your guide. The Spirit of God is your internal GPS system. Listen to that voice. In one passage of Scripture, the voice of the Spirit is described as a still, small voice. Granted, most of us want a really loud, obnoxious voice. God, give me a sign. If you want me to break up with him, then send an eclipse. I want a total eclipse. Okay? God, if there's a shooting star, then I know. That's how I know. All right, and look, hey, if that's how God talks to you, I'm not going to be a hater, all right? I get it, all right? Do your thing. That's fine. God may talk to you like that. Listen, in the Old Testament, listen, In the scriptures, you know what they used to do? You know how they picked the 12th apostle to replace Judas? They rolled some dice. Yeah, they rolled dice. But they believed that God was so sovereign that whatever the dice landed on, that was God's answer. You know, so some of you, we do crazy things sometimes to try and hear the voice of God, and it's fine. God speaks to you in the way God speaks to you. But my point is, the scriptures also say when the Spirit is speaking, it's actually not in some big, extravagant way. It's a still, small voice. So can you get still? Can you get small? Can you become open and receptive and listen? And allow that peace to be your guide. Last but not least, what scripture is this? Okay, yes, this is the last one. The last metaphor I want to touch on today is the Spirit as a dove. The Spirit as a dove. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What's interesting is the Holy Spirit here descending in bodily form like a dove is also something that we see in the book of Genesis in the story of Noah. Many of you know the story of Noah's Ark. There's a show on Netflix. There's a bunch of these shows. There's a Moses show on Netflix now. Is it good? I'll check that one out. Okay. I got a long list. But story of Noah, the earth gets flooded. Noah builds this boat. He puts all the animals on the boat. And he goes. Humanity's destroyed. He's about to start over again. Well, a couple weeks later, Noah is on the water. He sends out a dove to see if there's land anywhere. Like, when is this going to end? We need to rebuild humanity. Sends out a dove. Eventually, the dove comes back with a branch, which represents what? New life emerging. So when the scriptures say that the Holy Spirit is like a dove, what I get from that is the Holy Spirit is the agent of new life and creation. The Holy Spirit is the creative energy at the heart of all existence. God is creativity itself, okay? And that's where I want to connect this to you and I. Okay, if the Spirit is all about creating new life, creating diversity, creating new beginnings, and you and I are made in the image of this God who is creativity, that means what? We are creatives at our core. Whether you see yourself as a creative or not, you are a creative. And there is something that God wants to create in and through you and express through you that only you can do, because there's only one of you. So yeah, there's a bunch of pastors and speakers. Yeah, there's a bunch of therapists. Yeah, there are a bunch of musicians in this world. Yeah, there's a bunch of artists. But none of them are you. None of them have had all of the precise experiences that you've had in your life, which means the way that you're going to express this gift, the way that you're going to create, is going to be something that the world has not seen before. But oftentimes we play small and we hide our gifts because of insecurity. We've lost this idea of just play, creative play. Because we're so concerned now in this world with how many people are going to like it. How many people am I going to attract as a result of it? And then we lose sight of just being creative for the sake of being creative. Just doing it because you love it and offering it out there to the world. And even if it's just one person who comes and says, "That's amazing and it touched me," it's worth it. And so the more you create, the more you share your creation, the more you'll be able to overcome this insecurity, and you'll realize it's not about who likes it or who doesn't like it. Do I like it? And if I don't do this, I'm probably going to feel like I'm dead on the inside. Like there's something within me I'm supposed to be giving birth to, but I'm not. And so now we're straying away from our purpose. Now we're stripping ourselves of a deeper meaning that life can give to us when we're tapped into our creativity. So if you want to live your life in alignment with Spirit, get in touch with your creativity. Let God express the divine through you. Work on your giftings. Overcome your insecurities and do it just because you love it, not for the affirmation and approval of other people. And so that's my little spiel on the Spirit today. I hope you get something from this, okay? And my prayer for us is that, first and foremost, we would come to understand the Spirit as breath, and that we would connect with the breath and be present to the presence of God, that we would be open to the illumination of God's Spirit, the purification process that God's Spirit is constantly taking us through, that we would listen to that internal navigation system of the Spirit, that we would not try and pin down the Spirit, but be open to the ways that Spirit moves, even though it doesn't make sense to us, and that we would tap into our creative potential and become everything that God has created us to be. So God, we thank you for your Spirit that has filled us. And we ask, God, that you would help us every day to live in alignment with Spirit. May we grow deeper and deeper in our connection and intimacy with you. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us on our own, but that you walk with us every moment of every day, and that you've empowered us by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Happy Sunday, everybody. I hope to see you next Sunday. We'll be here at 11 a.m. Take it easy.